Good afternoon. It's 4:07 on 16th November 2023. I'm calling the special meeting of the Board of Commissioners for South Whidbey Fire EMS to order. First thing we need to do is approval of the agenda. I've got one item that I would like to add to the motion to the agenda for tonight under new business, and this would be to approve start dates for the financial officer position that is currently open.
I move that we approve the agenda as amended.
I will second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Agenda is approved. The first item of business is the 2024 budget. I'm going to turn this over to the chief.
So this is the budget as we had presented previously, and we've been working on in the budget committee, including the board representative, Commissioner Erickson. For the last several months, there have been a couple of small changes over the last couple of meetings, and one would be to increase the amount of apparatus maintenance from 50 to 100,000. We also had an adjustment to our revenues after completing the levy certification process and worksheet and meeting with the county that brought our property taxes anticipated to be the number that you see on the sheet. Are you able to share screen? Okay, we're screen sharing now. Okay.
Yep.
So under taxes, property taxes, you'll see that is our the bulk of our revenue. Kat, was there also an additional change that you made?
After the last meeting, when we went over the wage matrix and the calculation, I did update it to go to the CPI instead of COLA. So that increased the wages as well as all the insurance. They emailed me their anticipated increase, and then I just received their actual plan cost for 2024, which was higher than their anticipation. So that increased it a little bit as well.
Okay. So
I would turn it over to the board for any questions that you have at this point.
How much difference did that make to costs there?
I think it was about $200,000 increase in expenses.
Okay.
Yes, testing. I have a few questions for the proposed 2024 budget, and I'll go through them as quickly as possible. I'm assuming, and this is starting on the fire control, we're budgeting $16,000 for legal expenses. In 2023, it was $42,000. We incurred up till November 4th of $31,436. I'm assuming that that amount is predicated on the various personnel issues that required legal counsel. Is that correct?
That's correct. And then investigations that had occurred, yes, go through the legal office as well. Okay. So the number was based on historical spending prior to this year, which did have a couple of extraordinary expenses.
In that same area on the budget, we have audit and review services, 19,000, 23 and 24. So that is a budgeted amount. Is that a contracted amount or what?
So that's the amount that we pay to the state through the auditing process.
Got it. Okay.
That did not occur in 23, got pushed out into 2024. So.
Okay. Just below that, we in 23 we have a consulting services of 22,500. We're budgeting 73,500. Was there kind of a clarification of why such an increase?
Yeah, that's the Liz Loomis company doing the levy study for us and public outreach consulting.
Okay, that's and then we assume tied to that is consulting website. We had nothing in 23 and 3,600 for 24.
I believe that is tied to the actual website that we have that we started in this year, actually paying for a hosted website rather than trying to host it in-house.
Okay. That's dollars well spent. Just a curiosity, down below that slightly, the sell on digital telephones, we budgeted 36,100 in 23. We're budgeting less, about 28,000 and change. I can't imagine that telephone and digital service goes down.
We discovered that we had a number of lines that we were able to discontinue or that did not exist.
Okay. And then slightly below that, it's a small figure, but alarm monitoring is 2,123, 625 in 24. So I'm assuming you're monitoring fewer alarms.
So previously in 23 and before, we budgeted for additional stations to have the monitoring service, and they actually have not been serviced. So we're budgeting for the correct.
Yeah, we're just cutting down. A little farther down on that page, we have a liability umbrella for Honduras. I'm assuming that exact amount for 24, $164,644.05. is a contracted amount, so we know why that exact figure's in the budget.
Yeah, that should be the...
It's not a contract. They do let us know, though, in the previous payment, they kind of give us, okay, next year, this is what you can expect the increase is going to be for each different type of insurance.
Okay. And then a little farther down on the... below that, we have election expenses. We've budgeted $12,500 last year. I think we didn't spend any this year. I'm assuming that that's put in as a line item because we may need to expend it next year for the potential levy lift.
Yeah, and we should have some expenses for this year, but we may not be invoiced until next year for the November election.
And just below it, $17.90 for timber tax. obviously, it needs to be in there. And just below, slightly below that, we have computer repair and maintenance. My printout isn't too good, but it was 143, almost 144,000 in 23, and we're looking at 121,720 in 24. Is that a guesstimate based on something, but how come it's a lower figure?
If we were to open up the itemized budget there, it's pretty well broken down. We did reduce the number of servers.
Okay. So it's predicated on the need.
Correct.
Okay. And again, we have below that software recurring licenses gone up, and obviously based on more licenses that we have versus what we had in 23.
Right, particularly as we're trying to segue into cloud hosted type software services rather than trying to host things ourselves or use in-house programs.
On page 4 of this document, volunteer reimbursement, 23 was 75,000. 24, we're projecting 60,000. Is that because we will have fewer volunteers, or is that a stake in the sand to think what it will be?
I'm just trying to, you said that's this page four.
It's on page four of this summary document, fire control at the top of the line, 522-2015-10, volunteer reimbursement.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, sorry, I'm just looking because we broke that down into shift reimbursement as well, instead of just volunteer reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
And that may account for that without actually opening those itemized budgets. That's basically what we did, is we added a shift reimbursement and broke that out. And then we also based these off of historic budgeted amounts. And some of these lines, which this may be included, and I know that off the top of my head, I know we're way under on actuals versus budgeted for 2023. We tried to bring our actuals in line with what was budgeted this year on a lot of these. And so that's where a lot of these you'll see going down.
So that's why if you added the volunteer reimbursement and volunteer shift reimbursement for both years, they come out pretty close. I mean, about $5,000 difference. So further down on that page, 23, we had nothing for fitness equipment, but we have an exact figure of 4614.94. Is that some, do we know what is going to constitute that 4614.94?
I believe those figures were based off an actual quoted amounts.
Okay.
So that was just got quotes, added them up. That's what came up.
Okay. To. Okay. And then a little further down, actually, just below that, one line, two lines, there are two items that in 23, recognition awards and special recognition and activities, and respectively, there was 9,820 for the recognition awards in 23. 24, it's going to be almost half less of $4,960. And similarly, special recognition activities went from 12,745 to just about 7,600. Is there a basis for the lower figures in 24?
Well, I believe on that specific one, as we went to looking at the de minimis legal amount that we could spend on those.
Okay.
And the per diem rates.
So in other words, we're complying with state law on this subject.
Right.
Okay. That's, and I'm assuming down towards the bottom of the page, 522-2035-50, communications equipment in 23, we had 230,305 and change. We're 24, that figure sags to 10,250. So I'm assuming that in 23, we purchased all the appropriate communications equipment, and we're not going to need to do that in 24.
Well, we actually did. We're going to make a similar purchase in 24, but we moved that into capital.
Got it.
Because that's more of a capital expenditure that'll be with us for many, many years to come.
Okay. And just below that, what do we define as personal safety equipment? We got just shy of 68,000 in 23 and just 39,000 and change in 24.
Let me see. Sorry, a lot of these have similar names. It's probably the PPE. That's the personal protective equipment line. So that's going to be bunker gear.
Okay. Different title, personal safety equipment.
Yeah.
And then we're going to this next page again of this proposed budget summary changes on page five. I'm assuming that the full-time firefighter wages is the totals for both 23 and 24 are based on the current contract.
Well, so 24 is based on the current contract, plus we added in what that contract adds in for a COLA
year. Got it. Okay.
We are, as you know, going through the collective bargaining process.
Yeah, so, yeah, but this is what is in force right now.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
And similarly, towards the bottom of that section, the firefighters' health care benefits increased slightly, but that's predicated on whatever relationship we have with the carrier.
Right.
Okay. And if we go again, this is page 6 of the document that I'm looking at, the proposed budget changes. Under fire control, 522454110, training for professional services. We budgeted 5,300 in 23. We go up to 20,500. Are we training more people, or how come the increase?
Oh, that's a class called Calm the Chaos.
Okay. So it's additional classes that we didn't do previously.
Right. We had sent some people out to become trainers for that course last year.
Well, one thing we can't say, it's about commissioners' meetings. There's never any chaos, right?
Right.
Back when I was mayor in Bothell, that didn't apply. My favorite one, and just to cut one more line after this, I think, and then some comments. Small tools, we had 3,700 in 23. We're going down to 2,500. Is staff comfortable with that figure for 24?
Yeah, I believe so. We went through those itemized. So
okay, and then fire apparatus repair and maintenance. We've gone from 85 to 100,000. Staff comfortable with that figure?
Right. That was the one that had been called out by Chairman Towers in a previous meeting, that we had probably under budgeted for that. So okay. We looked at historic numbers and based it off of that and increased it a little bit from previous.
Mm-hmm. And then a couple more, and then a couple of comments, and then I'm done. Okay. Under fire control, 522604970, collision/accident. It's an exact dollar amount of 599.98 in 23 and 24. Is that some type of policy that we have?
That's just for any kind of accidents that we get into.
Okay.
And it's the same amount as last year. We've never spent that amount before. So
okay.
Possibly could be lowered, just kind of like a safeguard.
Yeah, I just see something that is so specific down to, mm-hmm. 2 cents. Well, why? And then under capital, a couple of questions and then a little bit of a comment. Communications equipment, we had 2023, 606,000. In 2024, it sags to 279,000. I'm assuming we budgeted and purchased a range of equipment in 23 that we won't be doing in 24.
Yeah, so when you remember a couple pages back, you had mentioned the communications equipment that was coming out of expenditures versus capital.
So it moved to here.
Well, so last year we had budgeted to perhaps get a grant to purchase a large number of radios, and there was a matching portion placed into the funds. We did not get the grant. We'd been turned down a couple times, so we went ahead and used that money to purchase radios because it was a pretty dire safety need. And then so for this year, we've budgeted to purchase another bulk of the radios, which is going to get us pretty close to what we ultimately need.
The rest of these that I've highlighted really I'll subsume into my comments. We have 3233 replacement. We had a line item of 500,000. It seems to me that that any 32 and a half, as we want to call it, or we don't want to call that, it's farther out than 24. But I question to the chief and to the board, should we budget or be able to deal with if it is the policy of this body to replace those two stations with something in the middle, so-called 32 and a half, should we budget or at least have the flexibility for the ability to purchase land for that facility, should it come available, or should we move forward on that in 24? So that's the discussion for board and our chief.
I could make one comment on that one just to start off, as that is budgeted in 2023, and we had discussed carrying that over into the 2024 budget at that point in January when we do the carryovers. One of the issues we had last year is we had a fair amount of double budgeting, where we had budgeted items that we anticipated carrying over and then carried them over. So that was just a little bit of information on that.
Okay. I really feel strongly that good governance is, if you know you're going to be doing something, to have the flexibility to be able to do it and not be hamstrung. So if we can have a carryover, that'll be fine. In this same direction, we have two issues that I've been harping on, and one of them is a short-term, relatively low-dollar fix, and that's to secure the fuel tank and standby generator for 36, Station 36, and if we have similar needs at some of the other stations that we'll be keeping, would like to see us to have the capability, because we don't have a line item for that, but to have the flexibility at least in 24 to be able to move forward on securing the emergency equipment here at 36, and if there are any other emergency generator types at other stations that we'll be keeping. So again, a discussion from Chief and the board.
I would say we were working on, we have an engineer actually writing up plans for 36 and I think 31 right now. And so one option that we would have going forward, and that is one of the priorities that was second tier priority brought forward in the strategic planning. And depending on what information we're able to gather and where we end on strategic planning, we do have the option mid-year to make adjustments as well.
Okay. If we get a good report and we know it's something that can be done, I would like to be able to have the district move forward, especially securing the equipment here sooner than later. I mean, who knows? Maybe in the rest of, you know, creation, none of us will be around here. Will it be a shaker? But seeing the maps of where the one of the would-be faults is, which is somewhere right close here, prudence says we need to be on top of that. And similarly, at least the flexibility in 24 to have a consultant come back with a report to the board and, of course, the chief, and saying, what would it take to secure Freeland, 36, and Langley, and, of course, Saratoga? That's such an old building. That may be a real lift. But to have a consultant to be able to come back and tell us, what do we need to make sure that these buildings are here when we have a 7 magnitude earthquake on a would-be fault? So that would be something after the first of the year. How would we move forward on that? Would there need to be a board resolution to make this a policy?
Well, like I said, it is something that we were working on in strategic planning, and we're going to circle back December 9th, I believe, Saturday, December 9th, and talk about all those and look at those options. So Chief Nye has been working with an engineer actually just today, this afternoon, on writing up some plans. I don't know what all stations they covered. Mm-hmm. We also have the gas company coming out to discuss some options. So I think we'll have more information by the end of the year.
Good. Yeah. Okay. I just am concerned that when you go through a budget process, are you truncating the ability? And it sounds like we have the flexibility to do budget amendments during the year that would address these if the board chooses.
Yep.
Yeah, we will need to do a budget amendment once the union contract is finalized. So at that stage, we would pull in any other items, but I think we need to have a good feel for what the costs are.
And... Oh, no question. It's absolutely imprudent to go and develop a policy and not have an idea, a good idea.
Yeah.
What we're intentionally encumbering the district to do. So that's all my questions.
Okay. Okay. I think I'd asked all mine prior to the meeting, so I'm pretty comfortable with it. Commissioner Erickson, any questions?
I will say I really appreciate Commissioner Nobley's attention to detail and some of those light items, and that I'm still feeling well-informed and well-versed having sat on the budget committee. There were two things that came to mind listening to the questions, one being the IT services and talking about moving things over to the cloud. Are we looking at reduced costs in the future once we make that investment to move our data?
I think that, you know, that's a tough one to say. As things are moving to the cloud, it seems to be becoming more expensive. If we're looking at the overall cost versus employing an in-house IT technician, I believe we did recognize savings if we look at the total cost of compensation.
Okay.
I do know we're actively working to offload some of our existing servers. With that, there's always a cost to the cloud, but we are reducing costs in a few different ways, and one of which would be hardware and time. And then I think probably most importantly to me is a couple of things. A, alleviating in-house staff from having to focus on those things, and B, security, so we can avoid, if possible, you know, data breaches and things of that nature.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm very interested in how we manage our data and the expenses associated. So I will be keeping my ears open for updates and future expenses. The second thing that came to mind from Commissioner Noble's questions was the hiring of a consultant for looking at the three stations, but in particular 3-6. Aside from the generator and the fuel tank, because it's a new building, is there a lot that needs updating in terms of ensuring that the building is able to withstand a major earthquake? Or what specifically were we looking for?
I can speak a little bit in general. Most likely this building was built to, there's four levels of seismic protection or standards. This building was built to 3. 4 is the true gold, the gold standard or Cadillac version, and it is so expensive. I vaguely remember conversations with former Chief Palmer that it is definitely to 3, but I would feel more comfortable if we're going to hire a consultant to deal with the various buildings to confirm that with the board.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Those were my questions.
The reason that I have a degree of authority in Bothell, I pushed for emergency operations center, police station, and a short-term hold jail. And I was really trying to get us to go to 4, and they just said, there's no way. It is so, so prohibitively expensive. So 3 is most likely going to be fine for what we could experience here.
If we want to retain a consultant to look at the various stations, I think we probably should get a quote and deal with that when we deal with the amended budget. Is that something that you could get a quote on, Chief?
Yeah, we can look into it and see See what that looks like. You know, off the top of my head, I don't know. I haven't been through the process, but we can certainly figure out who does that and how that would happen.
And I think for the more recent stations, we've got good documentation. The two older stations, we probably do not have much in the way of documentation.
And then it comes to a policy decision that the newer stations we know are going to be there. But if it's not a big deal for the consultant to quote on all its stations, fine. But if it's a you know, big deal for those geriatric stations that we hope to be surplusing, to concentrate on the ones that we'll be keeping.
Yeah, I think we need to just know what the costs are.
Oh, I agree 100%.
Okay, so we're going to keep those items that we've just discussed in abeyance and deal with them at the same time as the paid firefighter wages, and we'll do a budget amendment when that lot is available. Any more questions on this budget, and do I have a motion to approve this as a preliminary budget?
So moved. That would be as my motion would be as the budget presented in the documents we have today.
And I would just point out, I would just point out there is a resolution to adopt the budget. So I don't know if you want to include adopting the resolution in the motion.
Yes. It's jumping out a little bit out of order, but let's deal with it while we're here.
So we have I'll rescind my so move to refer to resolution to I move that the board approve resolution number 2023-08, that is to adopt a resolution by South Whidbey Fire and EMS of Island County, Washington, adopt the budget for 2024. And the rest of the resolution that we've been presented, but I can read it for the record, whereas the Commissioners of South Whidbey Fire and EMS have made certification of the taxes to be levied to the Island County Council. And whereas the Fire Commissioners of South Whidbey Fire and EMS establish an annual budget to provide operating and capital funds. Now, therefore, be it resolved that, number one, that the attached 2024 budget be hereby adopted as the official budget of South Whidbey Fire and EMS for the calendar year 2024. Number two, that the Honorable Island County Council be hereby requested to make a regular levy for the 2024 for South Whidbey Fire EMS in the amount of $6,807,477.20. Item number three, that the Island County Treasurer be and is hereby authorized and directed to deposit and sequester the money received from the collection of the tax levy specified in section two above in the amount and funds specified below, which are $6,803,738.60 regular levy amount into the general fund of South Whidbey Fire and EMS. And item B, looks like, $3,738.60 refund levy into the general fund of South Whidbey Fire and EMS. And item number four, under the be it resolved that one copy of this resolution and the 2024 budget be delivered to the Island County Council and the Island County Assessor's Office. That's my motion. And assuming it's adopted, it'll be adopted today, and that's included in the resolution.
I will second the motion to adopt the resolution.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good, motion passed.
Good job, staff, bringing this together.
Thank you.
Yeah, been a lot of work involved in it. Okay, moving on to new business. We have a couple of salary items. The first one is for the board to approve the salary level for our new maintenance mechanic. Chief, would you like to?
Yeah, I can report on that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as you're aware, we have hired a new mechanic, and we did that some time ago, and it was an extended period before he was able to get up here as he was moving from California. At the time that we extended a position offer to him, I spoke with the board individually, and we had some discussion in board meetings about bringing him in at a salary level other than minimum, which would be bringing him in at market salary. What we did not do, and this was an oversight on my part, was to do a formal approval of bringing someone in at a level other than minimal at that time. So I'm asking the board to do that at this time and apologize that I hadn't brought that forward earlier.
So this is to formally approve bringing Ian Carter in at market salary. Do I have a motion to?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Yes, seconding the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion is approved. The next one is, I think everyone is aware that financial officer is leaving us in January, and we will miss her sadly. We are currently in talks with candidates and would like to start the selected candidate on either December the 1st or as soon as possible after that, so there is overlap between our current financial officer and our incoming financial officer. So I would like to approve a motion to bring the financial officer on board December the 1st or as soon as possible thereafter, so that there is a maximum amount of handover time. I think this would be invaluable. Do I have a motion to approve?
I will make a motion to bring a new financial officer in starting December 1st or as soon as possible.
I'll second that, and I'm assuming that is sufficient verbiage for staff to move forward on this.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's what my second. I will second the motion that's on the floor.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion's passed, Chief. Once you've made your selection, bring them on.
Let's get them here. Okay, got it.
Next one is the levy certification.
So this is the levy certification form that would be delivered to Island County Council along with our budget. The amount that we request on this levy certification form is intentionally greater than what we had calculated our levy or our tax revenue to be. The reason for that is we're never sure exactly what that's going to be calculated at. So we've been advised by the county to submit at a rate slightly higher than we anticipated. And the reason for that is they've had districts in the past put the exact amount that they anticipated and miss out on funding due to that fact.
Yeah, that would not be good. And the administrative refund amount in the amount of $37,38.60.
Okay, can you explain that portion?
So the refund is just for your prior year, so it can be due to collecting taxes that were not collected prior or reassessing property values and things like that.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the levy certification?
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion's passed. Okay. Do we have any comments from commissioners?
Do we do wage matrix? Mr. Chairman, just the wage matrix as well.
Ooh, yes, we jump one.
All right. And I can report out on that when you're ready.
No, I don't think so. I think everyone's seen this.
Okay.
Commissioners, you've all had a chance to review the salary matrix. Nothing's changed since our last meeting.
What we did change is adjusting from the original salary matrix, which was based on federal COLA.
This is to the Seattle.
To the Seattle CPI 5.4.
So for the record, what is the difference between federal COLA and the Seattle CPI?
This year, federal COLA was 3.2. And Seattle CPI is 5.4. And so Seattle-Bellevue CPI is based on the Seattle area, and it's actually the only CPI from the Bureau of Labor Statistics for the west side of the state.
Oh, and it's absolutely mandatory. The national COLA is our CPI is national, and there's places like in Texas and Oklahoma where it's way cheaper to live. So we need to do that.
So do I have a motion to approve the wage matrix?
So moved.
Okay. She moved it. I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Wage matrix is approved. Okay. Chief, any announcements?
Not at this time. We're cranking through a lot of these meetings, so thank you. I would just say that I'll make one announcement. We did conduct interviews with finance officers this week, and we have, I think we're going to be able to move forward quickly. So,
that's good news. And the sooner this new party comes on and can have cross fertilization with CAT, will be good for the district.
Okay. Next thing, comments from commissioners.
I'm fine.
Commissioner Erickson?
None for me.
Hey, how's Tenerife? After we're finished, we need to find out what you're doing in Tenerife.
Family holiday. It's very nice. We just arrived this afternoon.
Okay. We have no need that I am aware of for an executive session. So we're going to waive on that. And with that, I think that concludes the business for this meeting.
I move we adjourn.
Do we have a second motion to adjourn? I think this goes to Commissioner Erickson because it's pretty late where she is.
Yeah, that's one to get her out of here.
We're still working on getting accustomed to the time zone, so it's all right. But yes, I will move that we adjourn. Oh, they're turning off the lights, so it's time.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Thank you.